Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's commence our meeting this morning by singing hymn number one. Hymn number one. After thy loving kindness, Lord, have mercy upon me, for thy compassion great blot out all mine iniquity. Hymn number one. We will now sing hymn number 43. Hymn number 43. Hallelujah, raise, O raise, to our God the song of praise. All his servants join to sing loud the praises of our King. Hymn number 43.
Amen. going to ask Brother Ron to speak to us from God's Word.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. In spite of the whirlwind in international events, life in general seems to continue much as it did before, doesn't it? It's because of this we are in danger of becoming complacent. Let's remember the words of Jesus to the Pharisees who were seeking a sign. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. This is the warning. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We may not always appreciate it, but those who have the rule over us were appointed by God, and as such we should obey them. In Hebrews we read, "Obey those who have the rule over you, and be submissive. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief." Difficult to picture that with our present clutch of our people that are supposed to represent us in Parliament, let's put it that way. But they are put there by God to teach us, to look after us. And we remember also that Almighty God gave the children of Israel many, many laws for their physical and spiritual health, especially after they came out of Egypt from under the Egyptian influence. And the scriptures describe the law as their schoolmaster to guide them in their new freedom. We've been reading through those, haven't we? And sometimes they seem a bit irksome, and they must have been to them who were used to doing just what they liked. And they had to learn all that time in the wilderness of what God's law was. In our turn, we have the inspired word of God to teach us. There may be times in our lives when we feel angry or resentful, especially about certain laws and restrictions that are placed on us by the state. But we have to be on our guard against letting such feelings overrule our attitude, and we become common law breakers ourselves. It's no stretch of the imagination to identify these base instincts with the lusts of the flesh that Paul listed to the Galatians. Idolatry, yes. New car, the new television, the new clothes, the new this, the new that. Sorcery, well, not so much these days. Hatred. Contentions. Jealousies. Outbursts of anger. Selfish ambitions, disagreements, envies and murders, drunkenness and revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand that those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of God. We must recognize quite a few tendencies there. But we see these attributes in the unruly mobs and the noisy public demonstrations, which seem to be coming every day. Earlier, Paul wrote to the Galatians, and I think it applies to us as well. "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only not to use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you should love your neighbour as yourself." Well, I'll expand on that a little bit later. And goes on to say, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." In other words, you've got to trust one another. "I say then, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk or behave in the Spirit. Yes, that's a challenge, but that's what we're here to do. And the warning for us, even if we manage to live and walk in the Spirit, let us not be conceited. We're certainly no better than each other. We have to respect that, not to provoke one another to envy. Well, walking in the Spirit has not been, nor will be, easy, especially in this present generation of instant gratification, the merest whim of fashion or popularity swing from left to right regularly. But this is part of our trials, brethren and sisters. We may have resisted these profligate ways all our life and have perhaps at times been wearied by the struggle. I'm sure we all felt that. But the Scriptures tell us what to expect this. In the letter to the Hebrews, which we've been reading recently, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." Yes, events that we don't like often come, and we wonder why they come, and we now know that we are being chastened, moulded, formed, helped to conform to that perfect example of Christ. And it says we are reminded in that letter to the Hebrews, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? In other words, God Almighty, wonderful in knowledge and wisdom. For they indeed for a few days chastise us, as seemed best to them. But he, our God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Yes, I've got to chip away at that rock and get the rough parts removed. Well, despite our best intentions and even blameless behaviour, we're so full of human weaknesses that we have to struggle all the time to try to overcome them. We can't let our guard down for 1 minute. The epistle in James tells us of the reward for our earnest struggles. We've read it in the first chapter. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And of our human frailty, Paul wrote to the Romans, and this is a heartfelt saying, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" I'm sure that's a plea we utter, particularly in times of stress and trouble, or when we're feeling ill or feeling the effects of age. Let us be encouraged and reassured by the solution to all these trials. For as Paul wrote to the Romans, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And Paul, in the letter to the Corinthians, stresses the importance of this type of love that we should have towards our neighbour. It's not just a passing kindness and things like that. It's in Corinthians 13th chapter, first book, first letter. And this is something I feel very deeply about. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Doesn't behave itself unkindly, doesn't seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Yes, true love has all those desirable qualities, and they are and were personified in our Saviour, whom we've come to remember this morning. So in conclusion, I'm just going to read some words from Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, in fact. Let brotherly love continue. Yes, all those attributes we've just read about have to be in that love that we show to each other. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Let us now sing hymn number 83. Hymn 83. A great high priest is come, who stands in Aaron's place, who, honouring the law, established life and grace. The law through Moses' service came, but grace and truth by Jesus' name. Hymn number 83.
Thank you.
So we'll conclude our meeting this morning with hymn number 122. Hymn 122. Behold, the mountain of the Lord in latter days shall rise on mountain tops above the hills and draw the wandering eyes. Hymn 122.